Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two rolls along here on a Tuesday. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And as promised, we're going to keep getting connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Carol is up next. Carol, how we doing?
Hi, guys. I'm approaching this with a different perspective and a different kind of passion. I'm like, oh, my God, stop crying and whining and coddling this team. Mm-hmm. I look at it like this. We have professional players. They're getting paid millions of dollars. They know what their role is. They know what their job is. They know what their position is. And that goes for the coaches as well. They need to come out and play each and every week with that same type of urgency to win the Super Bowl. And playing like that, yes, it can get exhausting, and there could be some kind of game fatigue by the end of the season. But that's what your team psychologists are for. And if you need a team mother, I'll be glad to sign up for the job. The other thing is we keep comparing ourselves to the last two-thirds of the league. We know that we're better than them. We know we can outplay them. We need to constantly be comparing ourselves to the top three and four teams, not only to be equal to them, but to supersede them to win that Super Bowl. So that's what I have to say. Go Bills. They've always been my team, and they always will. But they need to play up to that higher standard as well. Thanks, guys. Interested to hear what you have to say. Bye.
Thanks for the call, Carol. I think that's the thing is, like, I think they are reaching that higher standard. They are still 4-0. It can be lost at times when most of us are complaining as they go. I will also say, I mean, you're also seeing a lot of their backups. Played like backups on the secondary. Trey White, I know Sal's talked about it. He was on his way to maybe winning that CB2 battle with Max Harrison. Harrison misses most of training camp. We actually don't really know how that battle was going to go as training camp went on. There's a very good chance the first round pick.
It did not become a prolonged battle. As a matter of fact, Harrison misses most of training camp.
There's a chance Harrison overtakes him there. Linebackers. Yeah, Dorian Williams is playing like a backup. Derek, you mentioned it. Like, it's nice that he led the team in tackles last year. He hasn't looked like that player at all this year.
There's not been
that progression for him.
This is where there's also the tricky balance between criticizing the team for not playing their best game, but also making sure to acknowledge that they are indeed 4-0 and they've won these last two games by multiple possessions and by double digits. So how critical should we really be? Because I look at Green Bay losing to the Cleveland freaking Browns or the Chargers getting tripped up by the 0-3 Giants starting a rookie quarterback in his NFL debut. There are fates worse than death. And the Bills winning by 12 against the Saints is ultimately still a hell of a lot better than what I saw in Green Bay and what I saw with the Chargers. Oh, and by the way, the peers that were all sitting there at 4-0, there were six of them. Now there's two. The Bills are one of them.
And I have mentioned with the Eagles being the other undefeated team, they have a tough time passing the ball. A.J. Brown, book this year.
Yeah.
Now he's just putting Bible quotes out on Instagram.
It's just a different book.
Yeah, it's a different book. And so but this is also something I mentioned, like how much
we're going to drive ourselves insane.
Yeah. Bulldog mentioned this yesterday of like a little bit worried for the fan base to get to January. And I think it goes back to that overtime caller you and Nate had where it's just they've done everything asked of them except the one thing. They have built, in reality, a ton of credibility to just trust what they're doing. They will probably win 11-plus games. They're going to easily win the AFC East. And they're probably almost definitely going to win a playoff game. But they have not even reached a Super Bowl yet. And that will always, for many people, leave a void that will lead some to be very apprehensive about the roster and where they're going. I've fallen into that, of talking about the talent level they actually have outside of quarterback and now James Cook in the offensive line. I think it, undisputably, those groups are fantastic.
It's a tricky balance because on one hand, you should be able to say, yeah, they are 4-0. And at the other, you should be able to say, yeah, you could also play better.
Mm-hmm.
It's a balance and finding it and trying to not make yourself a hypocrite all in the same time.
Yeah.
That is this interesting little thing. And I'm going to put a pin in this because we got to get to some primetime players.
We do. We got to get to our week four primetime performers. It was a pretty good week. One guy I definitely want to talk about just more as a season-long thing. We'll get to that, though. Starting off, though, with our honorable mentions. Derek, I'll go first here because I know we have kind of a similar vibe here with the honorable mentions. I kind of just want to throw out there Dallas Green Bay. Just their offenses in general were incredible. It ends 40-40. It's a tie.
How do you do that?
I saw Del Reed mention, can that really be considered an all-time great game if it ended as a tie, or can be an instant classic if it's a tie? I'm going to say no because it is a tie in football, and I hate that. But 40-40. Romeo Doubs has the weirdest stat line imaginable. He has like 6 catches for 50 yards, but 3 touchdowns. Dak and Love are going back and forth. And the hype that game had as well of Micah Parsons coming back to Dallas. And Jerry Jones is trying to gaslight everybody in the pregame interview about like what, you know, what actually happened, what have you.
Yeah.
Parsons also, by the way, gets on the stat sheet. He gets a sack.
Yep.
Like, a game kind of had everything except a winner. So I do want to I do want to put that out there. It's just an honorable mention. The Green Bay Dallas game and really their offenses.
Yes. I did put that in there because I always send you the email of what I picked for the day, for the segment, and it says Green Bay and Dallas offenses. Yes, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hate myself for this. I'm putting Patrick Mahomes in the honorable mentions. And I feel dirty. I need to take a shower.
He played well.
Yeah.
He carved up that, albeit a very wounded Ravens defense. And it got worse, too. I mean, Nnamdi Matabuka is out for the year. Roquan Smith and Marlon Humphrey both week to week. That defense is in hell. They're in a really, really bad
and
spot.
And Matabuka might be more than just the year. It's a neck injury. Things might get a little bit more interesting down the line. Zach, I know you usually have 3 in here. I cheated and I have 4.
Oh, I have 4 as well. That's good.
Okay, so then keep going.
Yeah. I also have DK Metcalf on here. He ultimately ends with 5 for 126 and a touchdown. Most of that comes from that 80-yard score. But I got to be honest, with the Steelers, I haven't despised watching them play 100% of the time. The New England game was a tough watch, don't get me wrong. But I've sort of enjoyed like what DK Metcalf has been on the Steelers, what Aaron Rodgers has even been on the Steelers. He has been the older vet. I'm just here to make everyone look better. And they've got to be in the driver's seat to win that division, I think, easily. I'd even argue, and I was talking with a listener over the weekend, I think after the Lamar maybe hamstring injury, maybe keeping him out, even them just being 1-3, Steelers might be winning that AFC North. And it's week 4.
As a hater, I hate it.
Fair.
My other honorable mentions, though, Zach, they're going to the college football side of things on Saturday. First, I'm going with Dante Moore, the quarterback from Oregon, 29 of 39, 248 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. He added 35 rushing yards in the overtime win over Penn State. James Franklin drives people crazy that he can't beat a top 10 team. But you need sometimes a primetime performance in order to keep that narrative going. Dante Moore getting some flowers here from me.
And that felt a little bit like
in one of the most entertaining games.
It was like 3-3 at halftime, wasn't it?
But the other thing about it, you remember how week one was. It didn't give you any of the hype that it was supposed to be delivered upon.
Mm-hmm.
This game did.
I know we're going to talk about Alabama and Georgia coming up here in a second.
Yes.
Ole Miss LSU, by the way, at 3:30 also was a very good game.
All of those games ended up delivering on the hype, and that's good to see. But I needed to give Dante Moore a little bit of love here.
Real quick on him as well. He may have, and maybe most impressive for him personally, Drew Aller, the Penn State quarterback,
right,
was one of them coming in with all the hype. He was part of that quarterback group we mentioned with Luke Johnson last week from the Saints. Of just like all these guys came in with a lot of hype. Aller was the one guy who still hadn't botched that yet, and he did. Dante Moore has been playing great football all year with Oregon. Also, a bit of an interesting road to get to Oregon. Initially committed to them, decommitted, went to UCLA, played there in his freshman year. You've seen anything on UCLA football, you know how dire a situation they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Now goes back to Oregon. Lost his top receiver before the season even started, Evan Stewart. And he's, I think now, I haven't checked, but he might be either the Heisman favorite or one of the Heisman favorites. Oregon looks like a wagon so far this year. And many smart people were really thinking Penn State had a shot this year, or shot against Oregon. Turned out to not be true. Dan Lanning's building a hell of a program there.
And Penn State still almost got their shot on him.
Yeah.
Lost by 3 points.
Mm-hmm. My other honorable mention, Jackson Dart. Not really necessarily stats-wise. I mean, he had 2 total touchdowns. Just more going up against that Chargers team. Malik Nabers goes down, and for him to get a win. And for, you know, this is why I'll usually point to starting the young guys earlier than maybe you'd like to, maybe more than you're comfortable for, because teams will rally around that guy. It is hard to rally around, no offense, someone like a Russell Wilson or even a Jameis Winston who are on their roster, because you've been there and you've done that. You know who they are. You know their limitations. There is almost a bliss of ignorance with these rookies, not really knowing how the NFL goes, what's happening, and they're kind of just going out to play. And you could see a little bit of that from Dart. And then even a fellow rookie, Abdul Carter, I think in the postgame you even mentioned the future is now. I don't think the Giants are going to be a great team this year, but I think they're better off playing Dart. And I think they were better off playing Dart maybe even in week one.
They're worth keeping an eye on next year.
Yeah.
Is what I would say. Staying in college with my last honorable mention. Oh, you know this has got to happen here. As a certified big boy, we get a big boy screen. The play from Alabama for Caden Proctor.
Mm-hmm.
He hits a weight loss goal. And the Alabama coaching staff says, for your reward, we're giving you a screen pass.
Yeah, we're going to give you a screen pass.
And not only does he get the screen pass, he doesn't drop it. Good job on you, first of all. He then rumbles through and almost gets a touchdown on a thick six. That would have been amazing. But also, that's the beauty of humanity in a play. Hey, congrats on hitting your goal. Here's a reward. And then you don't botch it, and you look great with it, to the point where multiple people around here are tweeting Joe Brady saying, hey, I just saw an offensive lineman get a screen pass. Which, first of all, how dare any of you? The Bills don't run screen plays well.
Yeah, I'm not throwing Alec Anderson out there to the Wolves. They don't run screens
well. The only
well.
Reason that Khalil Shakir scored on that play is because he's a human pinball.
Yeah, but Caden Proctor, unbelievable
Proctor,
play.
I love
and
that
so
play.
Much fun. Also,
so much
fun. Good for Kalen DeBoer as well. He looked like he was in a really bad spot with Alabama faithful, the whole thing after that Florida State loss in Tallahassee. And since then, they've just gone in the complete opposite direction. He also, by the way, so good against a number of coaches. Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, Steve Sarkisian. Just kind of has like some weird moments. But Kalen DeBoer, I think, overall, very good coach for Bama. Glad they didn't rush to any sort of conclusions there, because I think Alabama's going to be in a really good spot going forward. All right, now to the top five. I'll start off here. Number 5, Chargers, outside linebacker, edge rusher, however you want to register it. Tuli Tupulatu? I believe that's how you say it? I think that's right. 4 sacks for the Chargers on Sunday against Jackson Dart, albeit a rookie, yes, but 4 sacks. Kind of hard to ignore that. I didn't hear much about it, though, on Sunday. Usually when you hear a guy get like the 3 sacks, all of a sudden everyone's going like, what's this guy doing? This is freaky. He gets to 4. Unbelievable game for him. He's at number 5 for me.
And number 5 for me is going to be Ashton Jeanty. Jeanty has had a rough start to his rookie campaign
mm-hmm,
here,
mm-hmm.
And it has not been great. What does he do against the Bears here? And what is ultimately a loss, unfortunately, for him? 21 carries, 155 total yards, 130 of them rushing. Why did I include the total yards? Because there's 3 touchdowns and a great game from Jeanty here. It does end in a loss. Geno Smith keeps throwing interceptions left, right, and center, apparently.
Yeah, he's rough.
But what is it with Seattle knowing when to get rid of quarterbacks all of a sudden?
Yeah, they've nailed that twice in a row.
This is uncanny.
Twice in a row with different regimes.
Yeah.
They've nailed it. They have nailed it, at least coaching regimes.
Yes.
Absolutely nailed it.
But Genty, for me, it's a great game for him. Gets his season back on track. And for a lot of people that were really hyped up about the Boise State running back, well, here's some of your dedication being paid off.
Mm-hmm. Number four for me, Cowboys wide receiver George Pickens. I had to put someone from this game in the top five. It was such a fun offensive game. And I went for the guy that had to take up all the duties at receiver. With CeeDee Lamb going down, Pickens has kind of this feeling of, man, he's super talented, but man, is he going to do some dumb stuff. And ultimately, he was just fine. 8 catches for 134 and 2 scores. Great game by him. Again, the only thing that game did not have was a winner.
Yeah, that is very true. Staying at wide receiver here, moving on to number four, I've got Puka Nacua.
Oh, baby.
The man cannot be stopped.
Oh, baby.
He cannot be stopped. He was averaging, coming into this game, 111 yards per game. He goes ahead and grabs another 13 catches, 170 yards and a touchdown, to another player that I will be nominating here later on. But Nacua is just fantastical right now, and a large reason that the Rams are able to be at 3-1 at the moment.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. We'll talk more on Puka Nacua here in a little bit, because he's on my list, obviously.
There we go.
A little bit further down. Number three now for me. I know you put him in honorable mentions. For me, one of the better quarterback performances over the weekend, Patrick Mahomes, 4 touchdowns, 270 yards. That game, as much as I was hyped up to watch it, never really close. Lamar Jackson didn't really look right. I know Mike Schoep's been talking about this the last few weeks. He didn't really look right against Detroit, 7 sacks. Mahomes, though, complete opposite. He looked in total control. I think there is something to, like we saw last year with the Bills, Amari Cooper gets inserted into the Bills' wide receiver room, mm-hmm. into the offense. And while he didn't put up crazy stats, the offense just flowed better. I think that might be plus with Worthy. He put up total yards. They had him in the run game. They had him in the pass game, what have you. But just him being in the rotation, him being in the lineup, I think just allowed the offense to breathe more. And they look, this is albeit against a really, really beat up defense as a whole. But Mahomes in the offense looked really good, arguably for the first time in a while.
Yeah, that's, again, I feel dirty giving Patrick Mahomes any sort of credit right now. I'm becoming too much of a hater.
I get it. That's fine.
But, you know, it is what it is, which is he played well in a game that they needed. Because if you fall to 1-3, it's not typically going mm-hmm. to be for the best. And now all of a sudden they are one game out of the lead for the AFC West. We're back.
Oh, yeah.
We're all back. Number three for me, you mentioned him already, Tuli Tuipulotu, 10 tackles, 4 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 5 quarterback hits. He did not make Jackson Dart's first career start an easy one.
No.
But it is ultimately in a loss somehow because the Chargers just decided to be out to lunch that day, offensively at least. But again, a great game. And suddenly this puts him, after one game, having those 4 sacks, tied for 6th in the NFL in sacks.
And these were his first 4 sacks of the season?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
He's awesome. Tied for 6th with 4 sacks.
That's awesome.
On the year in one game.
That's awesome. Number two now for me, I did go Raiders running back Ashton Genty.
Yes.
Didn't do much in the receiving game except for he only had the 2 catches, both going for touchdowns.
But that's the thing, is they go for touchdowns.
Yeah. 138 yards on the ground, 1 touchdown. He has had such a tough road to start his NFL career. The Raiders were not kind of this, ooh, they might be flashy offensively team. No. Geno Smith has been rough. We just mentioned it there that Seattle inexplicably, again, moves off to the quarterback right when they needed to. But Genty's been looking for this. I think it was Ryan Clark that said he just doesn't have that hit factor. Well, there you go. That's the Boise State Ashton Genty. And I think I saw, too, he's going back to that Michael Myers stance that he had before, you know, taking the ball where he's just standing straight up. He's not in any kind of stance. And this is the first game he did it. Good for him. And he might have to be the guy for the Raiders because not much else is going right for them. But I think overall, a great performance for him. And one we've all been waiting to see, and I think that's more of it for me, is just how the season's been going for him. For it to finally pop like that, albeit in a loss, huge for him. It's number two for me, running back Ashton Genty.
Number two for me is going to be on the defensive side in that game. The Chicago Bears winning against the Raiders, Kevin Byard III. Mm-hmm. Byard has 7 tackles. one tackle for loss, two pass deflections, two interceptions of Geno Smith. Considering that they win this game, I'm always going to respect when a defensive player puts up a big stat line like this.
Mm-hmm.
And every point mattered in this one. Geno Smith's turnovers are becoming back-breaking because they are mattering in the win and loss column. Byard gets these plays done, and I'm just sitting here slightly jealous that a safety is making plays.
Only slightly, though.
Only slightly, because Cole Bishop is making plays now, too.
Got a sack and an interception just through the first month of the season.
Exactly.
He's making plays, yep.
He's making plays. Byard had himself a great game, though. This was one of those performances that you look back on in the film room, and you see that is a rangy safety making the plays that he needs to as a pure center fielder.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and he also gets a tackle for loss in the game as well. Everything is working for him. Keep it going, because the Chicago Bears are suddenly living up to some of the promise that they've been displaying.
Yeah, they're 2-2, right, at this point?
They're 2-2 now.
Yeah. All right. Not bad, not bad. Number one for me, already mentioned, and this is much more great game, yes, but also we need to keep an eye on this season going forward. Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua.
He might win offensive player of the year.
I think he's got to easily be the favorite now. 13 catches, 170, and a touchdown. Just looking, though, at this year, he is by far leading the league in receptions at 42 already through four games, beating Jake Ferguson by 8. In terms of yards, he's also leading the way. 503, beating Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's in second, by 101 yards. His yards per game has gone up to 125.8, beating Jackson Smith and Jigba, who right now sits at 100.5. And I think the only person that's beating him in targets, nope, he's leading the league in targets at 50. Chris McCaffrey's at 43. I saw a tweet, it was just from a random user. I found it funny because he was talking about Puka Nacua, but it was about the Rams quarterback.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back Matthew Stafford, he though might be the antithesis to everybody eats. When that man finds a receiver he loves, he is going to target that man until the wheels fall off. He did it with Calvin Johnson, he did it with Cooper Kupp, and he's doing it with Puka Nacua. That, like, Kenny Galladay, he did it as well back with
That's
the Lions.
Right.
He got him 1,000 yards. Matthew Stafford is that guy when you're like, I need a superstar receiver for my quarterback. Matthew Stafford will find a superstar wide receiver.
Matthew Stafford might make a superstar.
Yeah.
And Matthew Stafford is my number one primetime player this week. Because it is not Puka Nacua that wins that game. He hits a dot to Tutu Atwell to win the game against the Indianapolis Colts in a game where, good for the Colts, being punchy. They're for real. But Matthew Stafford was more real. 29 of 41, 375 total yards, 170 of them going to Puka Nacua. Which is disgusting.
It's unbelievable.
Three touchdowns, including the winner to Atwell in the win against the Colts. I'm giving it to Matthew Stafford this week because Stafford is a player that he is always going to be the tough, gritty type. You can beat the snot out of him and he's still going to get up and go, let's do it again. And not that I like it, but let's do it again.
Yeah, Stafford has really, since he entered the league from Georgia, and I was younger when he first came in, so like, he was always quarterback I liked watching. That continued on when he went to the Rams. I was so happy he finally got his Super Bowl, and now his Ram career, I think more than anything, is going to put him in the Hall of Fame because it gives just context, and I've said this a few times, it gives such context to his Lions career of, man, if he was with a good organization, not a great one, a good organization, what could he have been? You put him with a great one, and now he's winning playoff games, he's winning Super Bowls, he's putting up oogles and boogles of numbers, and he's making superstar receivers out of guys like that are fifth-round picks. Not to take anything away from Puka Nacua, he's been amazing since day one, but it does help when Stafford looks at you with starry eyes and goes,
"That's my guy."
Yeah, I'll be your Huckleberry right there.
I'll be your Huckleberry.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll post these on social media in just the next few minutes. Talking Bills defense today, 4-0. We'll jump around the NFL as well. We'll talk about the Patriots, who are the Bills' next opponent. Sunday Night Football, Bills wearing their rivalry jerseys. I've liked the first two that we've seen from the Arizona Cardinals and the Miami Dolphins. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Got the second highest payroll in baseball? Give me a break. Don't have a chance to complain when you blow it the way they did. You take it. You take it. You get smacked in the face, you take it. You don't defend yourself. This team is not worth defending. We're a worthless piece of garbage organization right now. Hopefully we'll get up from it. Hopefully they'll make the right decisions. But stop complaining about the Marlins. Stop complaining about the Reds. Stop thinking you're better than you actually are. Stop worrying about the Yankees and worry about yourself. Own the town, my ass. How about owning a above 500 record and making the playoffs with the second highest payroll in baseball? Look in the mirror. The words Yankees or Marlins or baseball or Manfred or anything coming out of your mouth other than we suck, I don't want to hear it. So shut your mouth.
Hug your nearest Mets fan.
ESPN Radio's Don LaGreca down in New York, famous for his Mets rants. It's not Ed Cranepool. It's not the Ed Cranepool rant.
It's not Howard Simon.
But the Mets rants, man, like they get people going. They do.
We got a taste of the Howard Simon one.
I heard on Pick the Bills today. Yeah.
Hug your nearest Mets fan. I should have hugged Howard. I did see him.
Don LaGreca, though, by the way, I want to make sure I'm right on this. He is, I believe, the new play-by-play guy for the – yes, he is the new play-by-play announcer for the New Jersey Devils. So we'll be hearing more from him, especially with hockey. He was the fill-in guy for the Rangers for years. Now he's with the Devils, his boyhood team. But, yeah, the Mets rant. The Mets, man, I think all of that is right. Like he's yelling and it's fun, the whole thing. I think he's right, though. You have the second highest payroll in baseball.
You can't miss the playoffs with that.
And that rant more comes from – Mets fans, and I think even the Mets broadcast, being a little upset the Marlins celebrated getting the Mets out of the playoffs. And his whole point there was, why? They pay nobody. They have one of the lowest payrolls in baseball. This is like their one moment of relevancy where the baseball eyes for a weekend are going to be on South Florida. Why would they not celebrate it? That they knocked you out of the playoffs after you spent all of this money.
Also, it doesn't cost anything to hate.
No, absolutely. That's absolutely correct. It's one of the best things in sports is hate watching a team. 100%.
Oh, not even that. Just division rivals and hate.
Yeah, just being like, ha, we screwed up your season.
we screwed up your season.
I just, for them.
Nanny, nanny, poo, poo.
The thing with the Mets, too, is just how much, I mean, we talk about the Tigers collapse. The Tigers at least still made the postseason.
Yes.
They still have some way of salvaging this. They beat the Guardians in three games. Who cares about the division title, right?
Right.
Like, yeah, you're going to miss home field, and you would have loved to be the one or two seed. I don't disagree with that. That still will probably linger. But you beat the Guardians. You're like, cool, sweet. We won a playoff series. You didn't. Have fun with your banner, your division title. We went further.
Yeah.
The Mets don't even have that. And
the
they
Mets
were,
have neither.
I think last week's when it got real dicey for them was when it started. They were in a playoff spot from that point, though, since April 5th. All year, they have been in a playoff spot. You're just hoping the pitching rotation gets better. You're hoping guys like Lindor and Juan Soto and the team in general just gets going.
Right.
And it just never did. And now you got Pete Alonso, who himself had a very good year, coming off a year that he was not very good in. He's already going to hit free agency. We'll see what that means for him going forward. It's just... Yeah, second highest payroll in baseball, and you don't even make the playoffs. That's the worst spot you can be in, is spending all that money and having it mean nothing.
And I think that it just comes back to you got to be able to make the play. You've got to be able to get things taken care of. And I know that part of that payroll is ballooned by one player in Juan Soto.
He had a great year, though.
And that's the thing is, like, yeah, you end up the second highest payroll in all of baseball. I wonder why. you paid Juan Soto.
Him, that Lindor, money. Yeah, it's a lot of money between those two.
But that's the thing. You also still have to pay the rest of a team, and those players do have to make the plays. It just, the Mets do this to their fan base in painstaking way every year to a point where a Bills fan can pity it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I sit over here and watching the Mets and go, they did that. They did what? They did this again?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just about, like, painful eliminations in the postseason like Bills fans are used to right now or Toronto Maple Leafs fans are used to right now. It is you're missing the playoffs in the most awe-inspiring ways possible.
You were in the playoffs. You were in a playoff position most of the year.
This is a franchise that punches its fan base in the groin on a yearly basis. And bless every one of them that comes back.
I mean, they will. Yeah, it's one of the better fan bases in the sport. They're going to be back. That's the tough part. Is that
the sign of being a good person is being a Mets fan.
It's going to be happening again.
Because you know the term of forgiveness.
Yep. Baseball playoffs do start this afternoon, actually, just in a little over an hour and a half, with Tigers Guardians at 1 p.m. It's going to be over on ESPN. And we've got Cubs Padres over on ABC at 3. Also on ESPN, Red Sox Yankees. Again, that's just after 6. And then 9 o'clock, Cincinnati Reds at the Dodgers, also on ESPN. Should be a wonderful next few days of sports action. All four of these wild card series go for the next 3 days, or, well, at least next 2 days. They are best of three series. You want to put a pin on something with the Bills.
I did. And it's about that balance between being able to criticize them and then also acknowledge that there are fates worse than what happened to them over these last 2 weeks.
Right, because Carol, a caller previously, did mention, like, you know, playing up to the standard, right? Like, we're comparing ourselves to other franchises. We're not comparing ourselves to the New Orleans Saints.
And there's a very severe case of burnout that's going to happen after the first loss. Burnout, crash out, whatever term you want to use with it, is going to be all sorts of relevant. The moment that the Bills lose a singular football game, this is going to happen. And it might be as soon as next week against New England. It might be in a couple weeks against Atlanta. These are the two teams left over until you get to Kansas City that are the spiciest. Shelton Bulldog yesterday, they were trying to coin the proper term with like what the Saints were against Buffalo. And I remember Bulldog was kind of struggling with, and I love the quote that he comes up with, north of plucky.
North of plucky, yep.
North of plucky. That is what these two teams are going to be. And I think spicy is the right term. I don't know how good New England's roster is. I still don't know how good New England's roster is. They're a team that struggled more with Miami than Buffalo did. They're a team that committed 5 turnovers against the Steelers and yet only allowed 13 points. They're a team that kicked the absolute snot out of Carolina. They're a team that lost to the Raiders. What are the Patriots? And from what I've seen through 4 weeks is they're a game of Mad Libs. I don't know what I'm getting out of New England every week, except that Drake May doesn't stink.
Yeah, I think he might be the only definitive you have is that at worst he's good.
But other than that, I don't know how good their defense is. Christian Gonzalez is back, so it might take a step for the better.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bills can play that game against New England, at least. Because Ramondre Stevenson's not a good running back, and they still give him the football. I would be using more of Travion Henderson this week if I am Mike Vrabel. I also think that Mike Vrabel is not that great of a tactician.
And he's a great culture builder.
He's a great culture builder.
Which only, I think, gets you so far.
It only gets you so far, especially with a team that is going to have less talent than the opponent that they are facing in this circumstance. Yes, the Bills have a problem with talent. We did just mention that earlier in the show, Zach.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still leaps and bounds away from the roster New England still has put together. You should win against New England. Division games do get a little bit more tight, a little more tense. Jets game aside, that's been happening for the entirety of the AFC so far. Except for Bills-Jets.
Mm-hmm.
every one of these games in the division has been punchy.
And to be fair, yeah, I mean, you've seen how the Jets performed since that week one game. It hasn't been good. The Dolphins game really isn't all that close. I know there's a shot there for the Jets towards the end.
But they Jetsed it up bad.
Aaron Glenn, by the start of the fourth quarter, looked like he wanted to be anywhere else but South Florida. That guy looked like he wanted to just get on a plane. We're 0-4. Let's just move on. I mean, I didn't realize just how much work they have to do. I really thought it was more just the quarterback situation's a mess. You know, the owner likes to meddle. The GM's kind of bad. Like, maybe Aaron Glenn can come in and not fix it right away, but make them respectable. No, there is a talent issue with the Jets.
There's a talent issue.
They gave Sauce Gardner $100 million, and Darren Waller was whooping them.
And it's going to be something more along those lines that we can talk about them later. But, yeah, these next two games are going to be the toughest matchups that the Bills will have before the bye week. But they're also still teams that are 2-2, and we don't know who they really are yet. We don't know. What I do know is New England has at least been building something over the last couple of years. They have a quarterback that is probably going to become a problem. Atlanta, I know, has a great running back. That will be a problem. They have a defense that, one game aside, where Carolina decided they wanted to wake up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They've been playing great all year, except for one game. But I also know that the Bills have the league's MVP. And if I'm not mistaken, it's second leading rusher?
Yep, only behind Jonathan Taylor, James Cook.
And it's by 13 yards.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically there together.
One, two, and three are kind of like, and then it's a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
Because Travis Etienne's having a great year right now, too. But you have the second leading rusher, the seventh leading passer, despite the fact that the Bills aren't throwing the ball as much as they could be. Scary thought. And they have a defense that should play up to more of a potential. Allen's played pretty good against New England over the last coming years. Not so much last year, the one game that he plays.
Mm-hmm.
But they also figure it out because they have a talent gap. Has New England done enough to fix that? I don't know.
It's going to be interesting, though, on defense. You do mention, obviously, Allen, of course, and then James Cook. That is where the Patriots are going to be a curious watch. Christian Gonzalez has not played at all this year until this last week. He has been dealing with an injury. Now he's back. But through the first four games, Patriots are fourth worst in terms of net yards allowed per pass. They're not one of the better passing defenses. The same cannot be true about their rushing defense. They are allowing the second lowest total of yards per attempt at 3.3. The only team better, Cleveland, 2.7 yards per carry on the ground. They have been a very good run-stuffing defense. So
Try me.
Yeah, no, I think that's the thing. For the Bills, it should be cool. But Cook is dominating, and we have Allen. We're not going to change a thing. I've now gotten to this point. The Bills are treating a lot of this as just it's September. It's October. Why would we show you everything? So they're going to come in. And I know a lot of people have pointed this out for the passing game. It's been very vanilla. I think that's for a reason. Why are they going to show teams a bunch of stuff against the Saints? The Patriots, though, might be one of the first games where they might have to go deep into their bag of tricks to find something. With Christian Gonzalez back, that pass defense probably is going to get better, especially now it's not even his first game back, it's his second game back. You've already seen how they've done against the run very well.
And now this is also a good opportunity for your pass rush. But it's also going to be another one of those moments of we might not learn anything positive. Drake May has taken the third most amount of sacks in the league this year at 13. Get to him, please. Finish the deal. Because if you don't, only negative thoughts are going to come from this. So you need to get it done. There's less and less excuses for players like a Javon Solomon out there right now. There's less and less excuses for Gregory Rousseau.
I think especially someone like Rousseau, who was given a big contract. I know, and I brought it up, I think, last hour, that he's dealing with a bone bruise. That's the reports. But he's not on the injury report. He's practicing in full.
Right.
He's not even really receiving treatment because he's not on the injury report.
Right.
He's got to perform.
He's got to perform.
He was one of, if not the guy I was looking to this offseason of, he's got to take that step forward to being one of the better pass rushers in the NFL. And so far, through four games, he's kind of been a non-factor.
And you need to be better.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get better. Can you at least stifle some of the conversation about the pass rush? Which is, once again, it reared its ugly head.
Yep. Bills, Patriots, Sunday Night Football. It's going to be a whiteout game. The Bills will be wearing their rivalry jerseys. Should be a lot of fun. Again, Sunday Night Football. We'll talk with Sal Capaccio tomorrow as the week really gets underway, probably around the 11 o'clock hour. So do stay tuned for that. Sabres Live, though, coming up at 12 o'clock. We'll be right back wrapping up the show today on a Tuesday in just a few minutes. This is WGR. Whiteout game this Sunday for the Buffalo Bills. They're going to be the third team wearing their rivalry jerseys. The Arizona Cardinals were first, and then last night we did see the Miami Dolphins. I got to tell you, Derek, I was a little apprehensive on how I would feel about these. And, you know, to a certain extent, I think teams can get a little too creative and miss the mark entirely, which I'd much rather them do rather than doing nothing and just being like, oh, this is kind of lazy. I've really liked the rivalry jerseys when we first got them. And I've really liked actually seeing them on the field. Arizona's, I thought, was awesome. I think they may have stumbled into something that they should maybe consider long-term and into, you know, permanent status. And even Miami's last night, I could tell it was a little more blue than black. I know that was a big thing that people were wondering is like, ooh, how's it actually going to come out on TV? I like Miami's last night.
I think their nameplates were a little too big.
A little too big, yeah. That's right. But outside of like the actual jersey construction and the look of it, I think they've nailed it two for two so far for
overall,
me.
Overall, I don't hate Miami's, and I didn't like, and Arizona's was pretty good. I also am happy this is still a one-off ultimately for most of these teams, because I'm pretty sure in terms of my ranking of those rivalry jerseys, my number one and number three have played, and number two will be next.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to get worse.
They're about to get worse. All the good ones are happened already. It goes downhill from here.
We wasted the good surprise on you.
But I've liked them so far. I can be at times a bit of a uniform junkie, but mainly I do actually like ultimate what the Bills are wearing, which is just like the white out look kind of deal. But I've really enjoyed both Miami's and Arizona's. I think they may have fallen into something that could be perfect for them going into permanent status of having that sort of desert cream look that they had going on. Really, really good. Big fan of that. And we'll see if they end up still doing that. They probably won't, but we'll see. Sabres back in action tomorrow night. But coming up next, more on the Sabres. Sabres Live coming up next. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.